on Wednesday night, and we got a little ways. We're going to go back to it this morning, Acts chapter number 11, and we're going to start reading in verse 19, Acts chapter 11, verse number 19. A lot of good stuff to learn in here, and I've preached this message a couple of times here in other places, and last time we got through the whole thing, I think in one service, and last Wednesday we only got through the first point, so we might just visit the first point again this morning. And but anyway, these are things about the church, and so if you've got your place in Acts chapter 11, verse 19, we'll start reading. It says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul." Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd open my mouth now as we go into this chapter again. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me, God, to say what must be said. God, I pray you'd not let this just be a repeat, but God, I pray that you would open my mouth and open the ears of these believers here this morning, God, that they would hear and understand the word. And God, I thank you for what you do. God, these are basic and simple things about the church, and we're a basic and simple church, God. So I pray you'd help us to hear, help us to understand. God, would you open somebody's heart this morning so that they'd hear the truth like they've never heard it before, never experienced it before, God, and may it be a challenge to their heart, a challenge to their life, God, and may they live a Christian life from this point out. We'll thank you and praise you, God, for what you do. In Christ's name, I pray these things. Amen. Now, Wednesday night, we went over a couple of things out of verse 19. And verse 19, again, it says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but to Jews only." We talked about some of those things Wednesday night, but just as a little refresher, you should never get to the place in your life where you think that persecution, or the fact that maybe even you've been run off. You know, sometimes you're not able to hold the ground you own. Saul, whose name is later turned to Paul, and you know him as the Apostle Paul, but Saul and a bunch of other of these Jews got after these Christians and started chasing them and started making life difficult for them. And after they stoned Stephen, it seemed like the whole thing was busted up. But God doesn't always allow things to go like we think we do. We think, you know, we'd come and preach and witness and people will get saved, and we think everything will just happen just the way we want it to work, but sometimes it don't work that way. Sometimes the Christian life comes with difficulty. It comes with hardships. We want God to do it one way and He does it another. We want Him to do it the miracle way and He does it the hard work way. There's a couple of laws that man have to live by. One is you're going to make a living by the sweat of your brow. That's Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, and it's still in effect today. You're going to make a living by the sweat of your brow. Every once in a while, God can do a miracle and give you a blessing that you didn't work for. Amen? That's called the grace of God. Well, I mean, you've got a body and it falls prey to sickness and disease, and sometimes you've got to go and you've got to do the terrible thing of paying money to a doctor, and you got to take this pill and take that pill. But sometimes God doesn't do it that way. God performs a miracle and makes you well. I mean, there's two or three different ways of looking at it. And most of the time we don't want the hard work approach, we want the miracle approach. Sometimes we don't want the hard work approach, we want the miracle approach. Isn't that the way we're hoping for? That's what we're hoping for. Now, that, to be honest with you, that's the way I'm looking for God to build this church. I'm looking for folks to open their ears and open their hearts and God let you see what the truth is, and then you just get plumb excited about being saved and plumb excited about being a Christian and go out into the highways and hedges and say, man, you wouldn't believe what's going on down at the church. I mean, I know there has been some stories like that told, but not on the get-up. You wouldn't believe what they've done down at the church. You wouldn't believe what Brother Mike said down at the church. You wouldn't believe that. We don't need that kind of promotion. We need the kind of promotion that promotes the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm hoping for that kind, but usually what happens is you go through difficulties and hardships and trials, and things get busted up and you think it's over with, but it ain't actually over with. You see, here they go out to all these different places, and they were worshiping, and they were doing what God told them to do, but that thing got busted up by the opposition. But they didn't really put an end to nothing. They just went out and started more churches. We covered that stuff. We covered that stuff pretty good in the last service. But I thought about another thing about that. We often think that God, we often limit God to what He can do. These people are worshiping God, and along comes this fellow Saul and all of his followers and all the people, you know, he was in charge of. And they bust up this little, gathering of Christians, little gathering of folks. And here they are spread all about. Them people that left and went to Phoenix, those people that left and went to Cyprus, those people that left and went to Antioch, they would have never thought that in just a little while, that same fella that was holding the clothes of them men that was stoning Stephen would be there preaching to them. They never thought that. I mean, you and I think we see our obstacles as complete and total and impenetrable, but God can take the things that are your obstacles and He can make them help you serve God. When He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, they would have never thought that Egypt would have financed their trip. But when they left Egypt, they had the silver and gold of the Egyptians in their bags. And so they brought that stuff out with them. But they would have never thought that these people that are holding them in servitude, that are holding them in bondage, would give them the money to go and to, you know, when they got into the land of Egypt, I'm sure they still had all that silver and all that gold. They didn't have to buy no food in the wilderness. They didn't have to buy no clothes. When they come into the land of milk and honey, they already had cities built. And there wasn't not one of those countries inside the land of Canaan on their side. Not one of them said, hey, here you can have our... They wasn't for the Israelites. They was against the Israelites. But when the children of Israel came in, they had ready-made cities, ready-made vineyards. They had gardens that was already growing. They had the money of Egypt in their pocket. They had everything in the world that they wanted already provided for them. And who provided it? The world did. The world did. Here's old Saul, and he's standing here watching Stephen get stoned out there to death. And he's sitting there, and he's on the wrong side. But little did he know, little did the church know, that pretty soon that Saul would be preaching the gospel. Galatians chapter 1, he said, they glorified God in me. They would have never thought of that. See, you and I, we look at our present situation. We look at our situation right now, and we think, man, this is rough. No, this is what God's going to use to help you out with. We say, man, this problem that I got, this situation that I'm going through, this is the end of me. No, it's just the beginning. That's all it is. They said, man, we got to go somewhere else. We can't preach the gospel here no more. It's all over. It's all destroyed. And God said, no, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. There ain't no end for a Christian. Are you saved here this morning?
Amen.
Are you saved this morning?
Amen.
There ain't no end for you. It's just the beginning. So what if they come and kill me? It's just the beginning. What if they come take your money back? What if they come take all of our money? Just start making some more. What if they come and they take away my freedom to preach? Just start preaching anyway. The world didn't call you. They can't take away your calling. Amen? What if the evolutionists get to the people before I do? We'll just go in there and preach anyway. Evolution can't stop Jesus. Maybe we'll all go home, go to bed, and just come back in a little while and get when we were getting woke up. Amen? The world can't stop Jesus. Evolution can't stop Jesus. A lack of money can't stop Jesus. You can get money out of a fish's mouth. Ask Simon Peter. How are we going to pay all these taxes? He said, go fishing. The first fish that come up had the money in it. Enough for, you say, how much? Enough? Had enough. Amen. Said they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word but to none but unto Jews only. Now, if there was one thing good you could say about these folks already is that they may have scattered and they may have had to leave and they may have had to stop what they was doing where they was at. They didn't stop what they was doing where they was going. They still preaching the word of God. And let me say this to you this morning. No matter what you're doing, no matter what the difficulty you're going through, make room in your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Make room in your life for the gospel. You may be backslid as you can be, but I guarantee you, if you'll just start talking about him a little bit, some of those old, we try to emphasize facts around here and we don't spend too much time on feeling. But I know some of you lost that old feeling that you had when you got saved. And if you want that old feeling back that you used to feel when you first got saved, I recommend to you that you just begin talking about the things that you was talking about when you had that feeling. I mean, if you're down and depressed about everything, why not talk about the fact that your sins are forgiven? Why not talk about the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you? That'll help you this morning. That'll help you this morning. You say, you don't understand my problems. I don't have to understand your problems because I know that there ain't no problem, there ain't no persecution, there ain't no difficulty that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ didn't pay for, and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ can't take away from you. Y'all wake up here in a little bit, maybe, I promise you. He said they went to Antioch preaching the word to none but to the Jews only, but at least they was preaching the word, amen. They about to learn some lessons. Listen, you're going to learn some lessons in your lifetime. You don't know it all right now. Some of you think you know it all right now, but you don't know it all right now. Some of you, well, you know, some of you... I've hushed my mouth. I started to say some of you, if we asked your wife, they'd tell us that you thought you knew everything. But you don't. You don't know it all yet. You don't know it all yet. And you ain't about to know it all no time soon either. But I tell you this, you got some stuff to learn. But hey, while you're learning, just preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, listen, you don't have to know it all to preach the gospel. But if you'll preach the gospel, if you'll be faithful to preach the gospel, God will be faithful to teach you. And make improvements in your life. Some of you are going to wait till you're perfect to do something for God, and we'll be singing you sad songs and slow walking behind your casket before that ever takes place. Yes. Brother Mike, he's not perfect. I'm not talking about that one, I'm talking about this one. I'm talking about this Brother Mike. He's not perfect, but God is merciful. God is merciful. And I find the more that I talk about Jesus, the more mercy God puts in my life. I realize I have a little bit further to go. These Jews right here, they don't realize yet that there's a whole world out there. When Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, some way or another they got it stuck in their mind that they was to go into all the world and preach to the Jews only. You see, they're not in Jerusalem no more. They're out in Antioch. And they're preaching to nothing but Jews. They got something to learn, you see. Their knowledge is not perfected yet. They don't understand everything yet. But they didn't let that be a hindrance to them preaching the gospel. He said they preached the word to none but unto the Jews only. It says, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now, see, when they got out to Antioch, some of them said, well, listen, all these Jews, they don't believe. Them Jews, they stoned Stephen. Them Jews, they run us off. Let's preach to these Grecians. I don't know how they come about that idea. I'm sure the Lord led them to do it, but I don't know how they come about it. Some of them might have talked to Peter. I don't know. I don't know how they come up with the idea. Has the Lord ever gave you an idea and you know it was from God? Has God ever given any of y'all an idea and you know it come from God? I mean, God just showed you something and said, try it this way. I know I've tried to do something before. I mean, tried to get through to people and just wasn't nothing working. God said, why don't you try this right here? And usually it has to do something with the simple gospel. Just a simple gospel. The gospel has power to break bondage. Did you know that? The power has gospel to break bonds and to break chains in your life that nothing else has the power to do. You could beat somebody over the head, night and day, and say, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't. And they'll just sit there and look at you. You know, I'm sure most of you got a dog or a cat or something. You know they don't understand what you're talking about. Do they? Hey, get out of that garden, dog. Hey, get away from that clothesline. Don't be pulling on that thing. Don't be pulling them clothes off. Y'all ever had a dog get a hold of your clothes on the clothesline? We used to have a dog. Just it'd sit there and watch Mama as she was hanging them. And she'd just sitting there looking. And just as soon as Mama got out of sight, she'd go over there and grab at some. And Mama would holler out, stop it! And but I'll tell you one thing you did understand. That stick. Mama come out with that stick. There's always something that somebody's going to understand. There's always a way, just finding the way. But I found that the best way, you try to tell somebody that's wrong. Just expose them to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. That usually works. That's a pretty big stick. The first time you ever heard it, it whoops you up one side and down the other about your sinful condition. There's nothing like seeing in your mind's eye the crucified Lord hanging on the cross for you, bleeding and dying for you. That'll put you under conviction about the way you're walking. Amen? Amen. Y'all might wake up in a little bit. He said, and some of them, they were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Somebody got an idea, hey, let's preach to these Grecians. And look what it says. It says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed. Now that needs to be our prayer here this morning. If you're saved, that needs to be your prayer. God, I want the hand of the Lord to be with me. The hand of the Lord it's talking about is His strengthening hand, His guiding hand. We call that providence, the providence of God. God leading you and God guiding you and God putting you in the right place at the right time. Did you know if you're saved, nothing happens by accident? I don't believe that. I don't believe that. The people that you meet, the people that you run across, If I'm seeking God and wanting to follow God, I'll even believe this. I believe if I get up this morning and decide to go to Walmart today, it might be Monday, it might be Tuesday, but I believe God can lead me into doing stuff like that. I've got up and I found myself, I believe I'll go to Walmart today. What do I need to buy over there? Nothing. Amen. Don't need nothing. But God don't keep you at the house just because there's nothing to do. He takes you out into the highways and hedges. And I've seen times where I just went to Walmart or Kmart or Rite Aid for no good reason just to look around and end up running into somebody that needed the gospel, somebody that needed a gospel tract, somebody that needed a witness, somebody that needed encouragement. It's out there for you. God leads you. God leads you. And so God leads these people, but you've got to have the hand of the Lord on you for that. You need God's guiding hand. You say, Brother Mike, I can't live this Christian life. This Christian life's too hard. I know it. You can't. But you can as long as you've got God's strengthening hand on you. God takes His strengthening hand off of you. You just weak and beggarly and no good. You can't do it. You can't do it if you ain't got God's hand on you. But if you want God's hand on you, there ain't nothing that you can't do. Like I said before a million times, we got an I can religion, not an I can't religion. Somewhere along the line, you've got to get it in your mind where you want to serve God. When will that be? When will it be that God's people say, hey, I want to serve God. I want to do something for God. I've given my life to cars and money and houses and lands, and I've come up empty and come up unsatisfied. Listen, I don't care if you're sitting in this building and you got 500 acres or you got no acres, you've not been satisfied by land. If you're renting a half acre of ground or if you own 500,000 acres, you ain't never been satisfied by land. You ain't never been satisfied by... if you got the truck you always wanted, you want a better truck now. I've seen times in my life, and boy, I've run my wife crazy over this stuff. I want me a four-wheel drive. Get me a four-wheel drive. Well, I like this four-wheel drive, but this four-wheel drive ain't got power windows. I like this four-wheel drive with power windows, but this one ain't got no air conditioning. And this one, it's got air conditioning. It ain't got locking. It's got these electric hubs, and I don't like electric hubs. I like manual locking hubs. They don't break so easy. And they're just 1,001 things to be dissatisfied with, ain't they? Yes, sir. There ain't nothing on this old earth going to satisfy you. When will it be when God's people say, hey, this world is not satisfying. The things of this world is not satisfying. The money is not satisfying. The jobs are not satisfying. I want something that's going to satisfy me, and living for God and having God's hand on you is the only thing that's ever going to do that. Old Paul was preaching one time, and the Bible said he was preaching, and there was a woman there, and the Bible says her mind, her heart, her soul was open to the things that Paul was preaching, and it changed her life from that day. One of these days you're going to come to church, and instead of nodding off, and instead of you're a witness whether you know or not, but instead of wondering about the things that are outdoors, about wondering about Monday's work, instead of worrying about the things that are going next week, you're going to hear something out of the gospel that's being preached, and it's going to open your heart and open your mind, and you ain't never going to be satisfied with the things of this world again. You ain't even going to try. You'll spend the rest of your life trying to serve God. Oh, you'll bump your head, and you'll make mistakes along the way, but one of these days, God's going to get your attention. May as well be today. May as well be today. I'll tell you this, if you would pray right now, and you'd say, God, get my attention. Some of you, God ain't got you. God ain't got His hand on you. I'm talking about for service. I'm talking about for strengthening. I'm talking about for guidance. God ain't got His hand on you. But if some of you this morning would just say in your own mind right now, God, put your hand on me and get a hold of my attention, He'd do it. He'd do it. Your life would be forever changed. God answers prayers, you know.
Yes, He does.
Especially that one. If God's people that is cold-hearted, if God's people that are in apostasy, if God's people that are in a falling away, if God's people that were apathetic would just say, God, put your hand on me, God would find a way. God would find a way. Well, you've heard many a testimony. Haven't you heard many a testimony over the last couple of weeks? Somebody say, when I was 5 years old, I asked God to save me. And then I went on, I lived this many years. And finally, I came to a knowledge of the truth and I asked God to save me. You say, why did God wait that long to do it? Well, I'm not worried about why God waited that long to do it, but I know this. They gave a testimony that when they was 5, they asked God to save them. And maybe when they was 25, God answered the prayer. I don't understand all that stuff. But when they got down on their knees as a 5-year-old, they said, Lord, save me. Did they not? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not maybe, not perhaps. And I'm telling you what, some of you hard-hearted folks sitting here this morning, if you say, God, speak to me. God, lead me. God, strengthen me. God, help me to do the right thing. He would. He would. I mean, it'd be a lot better than asking, the doctor to help you or asking somebody like that. A lot of you even come to me and said, help me, help me, help me. Show me the right thing to do. The only help I can give you is to point you to the one that can help you. All I can do to help you is to tell you, hey, if you'll turn your heart and life to God, He will help you. He will. You say, how do you know? I've seen it work in my own life. I'm a witness. I'm a testimony. I've been to the place where I like the alcohol more than I like the things of God. I've been to the place where I like the foul language more than I like the things of God. And listen, after I've been saved, I've been to the place where I like to go to work more than I like to go to the house of God. And I like to make money more than I like the things of God. I like to get a bigger house better than I like. I've been in that place too. I've been in both places. And God's got a cure for both of them. God has a cure. God has a cure for all of them. God has a cure for all of them. The hand of the Lord was with them. And look what it says, when the hand of the Lord got with them, a great number believed. There ain't no period right there. It said a great number believed and turned. You can find folks that will make a profession of faith. You can find folks that will make a profession of faith today. But what we want to see is folks that will believe and turn. Over in the book of Thessalonians, he said, you've run into some people, and he said, they've done just like you've done. They've believed on the Lord and turned from these idols to serve the living and the true God. He says, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. We need the hand of the Lord on us so folks will believe. We need God's leading hand and God's strengthening hand and God's saving hand, and then we'll receive the end of that. We'll see the reward of that, and that is that people will believe. Don't you want to make a difference in somebody's life? Listen, somebody came along, they knocked on your door and invited you to church, or maybe you just stopped by church one day. I don't know how it happened. But somewhere down the line, somebody introduced you to the gospel and it changed your life forever. Don't you want that to happen in somebody else's life? I mean, seek for it. I mean, you ever been hungry? Have you ever been out working? I don't know if any of you work. Like, I would work in a truck and I would drive a truck around. And sometimes I would be just searching desperately for some place to, I mean, out in the middle of the country and take a load out in the middle of the country. Ain't no McDonald's around and there ain't hardly nothing around, just out there. Man, if I don't find a store soon, I'm going to collapse. I don't know about you, but us skinny fellers, if you don't get something to eat right now, you might die. I mean, I got no reserves and, you know, no backup plan, no snack in the lunchbox. Because I tell you what, if I bring a lunchbox to work, I just can't do it that way. Because it all gets eaten before 8:30 in the morning. If there's food around, I'm going to eat it. How you put that together with still being a bean pole, I don't know, but that's the way it used to work. So lunchtime, I'm looking for something to eat and get desperate. I got to find me a store right now. I got to find something to eat right now. But listen, some of us need to go like that after godliness and after the hand of the Lord and say, God, and be desperate for it. God, help me. I mean, I want to help somebody. I want somebody else to get the blessings and the strength of God just like you gave it to me. I want you to use me to do that for somebody else. How long has it been since you had that kind of hunger? How long has it been since you had that kind of desire? God, do for somebody else what you've done for me. Use me in that capacity. And that's what they were doing here. He said the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. I want somebody to see my life and turn to the Lord. I want that kind of power. I want that. I mean, I don't want to hurt nobody. I don't want to, you know, I'm not out to make people mad. I'm not out to do none of that stuff. But I'm out to see God do something in somebody else's life that I know He's done for me. I know He's done it for me. I can see what He's done for me. I'm a testimony that God can take any sin and take it away, and in place of that sin, give me joy and give me life and give me happiness and give me peace. I've seen Him do it. I've been to a place in my life, Brother Clint, where nothing satisfied me. And everything, when you get to a place like that, when nothing satisfies you, on the other hand, just about everything makes you mad. You ever been to that place?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, where you're just dissatisfied. And once you get dissatisfied, oh boy, everything will make you mad after that. Somebody says something wrong to you, oh, you ain't going to talk to me like it. And it usually, because of the way we are, it usually just happens between husband and wife. Because we're not usually mean to folks outside the house. Outside the house, we'd be good and nice, but when we get talking to one another, it's like brothers. You'd be nice as can be to the Joneses, but when it comes to your own brothers, you'll cuss them out in a heartbeat. That ain't the way it ought to be. But normally, you and I get in the fusses and the fights with one another that we do because we're not really got our eyes in the right spot. I mean, we're frustrated because life is not satisfying us. And we hadn't come to the realization yet that God has something that can satisfy us. And I'm a living testimony to that. I've seen the life of frustration. I've seen the life of depression. And even after you, depression is going to come what may. But I've seen the frustration in my life. I've seen that kind of stuff, and I've seen God take it away. And I've seen God give me something better. I just want to see God do something in somebody else's life just like He done in mine. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to see that?
Amen.
Wouldn't that be better than spreading? I mean, have you ever run into somebody, all they ever talk about is doom and gloom?
Yeah.
I mean, just as soon as you get to work, you know. I mean, you kind of try to hide from them if you can. Before the first work bell, I don't know if they still got work bells at work or not, but before the bell rings, you see them coming down, you duck into the bathroom. Before they get to, because you know just as soon as they get down to you, they're going to say, "You know what happened last night? You know what my husband said to me last night? You know what my wife said? You know what happened? My brother come over and there's a big ruckus. You know it's coming, that old foul attitude. Anybody know anybody like that? You enjoy that?
No.
No, you don't enjoy that. Well, why would you want to put out that same kind of a... That same kind of a... I hate to say the word vibe, but why would you want to put that out? Why would you want to minister that stuff? And the Bible says we ought to minister grace to the hearers. You and I can live a life that when we get around folks that need help, they can get help. When we get around folks that need saving, they can get saved. When we get around folks that need deliverance, they can get deliverance. You say, how? The same way you've done it. Now, I'm not talking about your ability to be a psychologist. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your ability to say, hey, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can deliver you.
Amen.
Say, oh, they say, everything's so bad down at my house. Say, well, hey, I remember when things were bad down at my house. And I got the cure for you. I know exactly what will help you. And they'll say, oh yeah, what is it? Jesus Christ. Oh, one of them religious fanatics. So have you tried it? They'll say, no. Say, well, I have. I know something you don't know. They ain't going to put up with that. We talked about that the other night, didn't we? A man ain't going to put up with somebody, some other man knowing something that he don't know. I told you the other night, I said a couple men get around and talk about the best fishing hole. And there'd be two or three guys saying, well, if you'll use this lure, you use that lure. If you'll go down yonder to that hole, if you go down there to this place, you'll catch all. And there's one guy standing around there that don't know nothing about it. And I tell you what he's doing just as soon as he gets home. He's looking up a fishing hole. He's looking up a fishing lure. And the next time he gets together with that group of men, he's going to know something about fishing. I guarantee you that. Next time I get down at the workplace and say my life's a ruin, you say, hey, I know something you don't know. That'll eat them up. What is it? Jesus Christ. Oh, you're a fanatic. Yeah, I'm a fanatic, but I done solved that problem you're trying to solve.
Amen.
And they'll go home and they'll start thinking about that. It may not happen overnight. And listen, if it happens overnight, it probably ain't going to last that long anyway. But what you can do is you can work on somebody day after day until the point where they get the understanding, they get the idea, and a change is actually made. You don't want to get them to where you just meet them and 5 minutes later they say a little prayer and never see them again their whole life. Get next to somebody you can get next to every day and be a consistent witness and be a consistent light to them and tell them the truth and keep it simple and preach the Lord Jesus Christ, and before you know it, you'll see some things change in that person's life. And you'll be a help instead of a blessing. You'll be a blessing instead of a curse. You'll be a help and a blessing to them instead of, you know, another source of bitterness.
Amen.
Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. God, I pray you'd help us, dear God, to take the lessons that we have here in Acts chapter 11, God, about a folks that they left their place, God. They left their homes and they were scattered abroad. But Lord, they didn't go out and complain about it, and they didn't fuss about it, and they didn't get bitter because they had to leave the place that they were in. They didn't get bitter about that, God, but they just went out and preached the gospel. They went out and done what was right and done what was expected. And they had your hand on them, oh God, and they made a difference in people's lives. God, help us to do that. God, lead us in that way. God, help us to be the Christians that we ought to be, and help us, God, to shine as lights in a lost and dying world. And we'll thank you, dear God, for what you do. Now, this morning, wouldn't you come to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, help me to be a blessing.